Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's worthy to be praised. Oh, that was the wrong neighbor. I didn't get the reaction I was looking for. Turn to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, he's worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 Truly, God has been good to all of us. Thank him for another opportunity and another expression of his love and his kindness. Amen. How many know the Lord's been better to you than you've been to yourself? I mean, if we were honest about it, many times we're not good to self, but the Lord has been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And we're just here to tell God, thank you. That you look beyond my faults, exceeded every one of my needs. And God, we thank you. There's a word I want to lift from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse number 3. Amen. John chapter 12, beginning at verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not to be cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against that day of my burying hath she kept. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I want to talk today from the thought, it costs to serve Jesus. It costs to serve Jesus. In the text, Jesus is at one of his favorite places to hang out. He liked to hang around the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Every time he was in that area, every time he was in that region, he found his way to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It must have been a pleasant atmosphere there. It must have been a warm place. There must have been some good food. There must have been some good conversation, some peaceful surroundings, some warm and inviting hospitality, so much so that every time Jesus found himself in that area, he made his way to the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And I wonder today, if Jesus were in your neighborhood, if Jesus were on your street, would he want to stop by your house? What would Jesus find if he just happened to show up where you live? Maybe they had a little room off to the side for Jesus. Maybe it was because of the food. Maybe it was because of the fellowship. But whatever it was, Jesus took particular care that every time he was in that area, he would make his way to their house. Martha, the more disciplined one, it seems, perhaps the oldest of the three, perhaps was married, and maybe her husband was wealthy and left her his estate. Because if the house belonged to their family, it would have gone to Lazarus because he was the male child. But it seems every time we hear of them, Martha is in charge. Martha is the disciplined one of them. Martha doesn't play much. Martha enjoys order and serving, making sure that everything is in its proper place. Because when you're a house and a hostess, listen, when you are given the hospitality and the responsibility of hospitality, you are kind of anal retentive in the way that you want things done. You want everything in order. You like the salad forks in the right place. You like the napkins folded just right. You don't want the food overcooked or undercooked. You don't want it unsanitary and unseasoned. You want everything just right. You know how it is when you were growing up and somebody was coming. Mama would say, company is coming. And everything had to be in order. And you want people at the party, you want them dressed right. You don't want folk coming to your house looking in any kind of way. And Martha and Mary wanted them dressed right because Jesus is coming by. And that's why you ought to come to church with your best on. That's why you ought to come to church at your best. Listen, you ought to have the right attitude before you come to church. You ought to not come to church with a jacked up attitude. I told you the other Sunday, it's your attitude is not right. You ought to just stay at home. I mean, really, if your attitude ain't right, you ought not come in and spread that negativity to everybody else. If you're just not feeling it today, you're just not feeling it. Don't bring your nasty attitude to church. Just stay home. You ought to come here with your best smile on. You ought not be frowning and looking mean. I don't understand how we come to the house of worship with a frown on our face. How is it you don't come to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and you got a frown on your face? How you go come to the Lord's house and can't even speak to folk? How you gonna come to the Lord's house and go the other way when you see somebody else coming? If Jesus is coming, if you're coming to the Lord's house, you ought to have your best attitude and your best face on. Consequently, you ought to look your best. I don't understand. We buy clothes for everything but church. We buy swimming suits to go swimming. Swimming trunks to go swimming. Tights to go out so everybody can see all the folds and wrinkles. I go out on Saturday and Friday night clothes. I don't understand why it is we can't buy something decent and in order to wear to church. Now, I understand folk that don't have it, they wear what they have. But listen, most of us in here have the finances and the means to buy something decent to wear to church. Listen, there ought to be a difference in how you look when you go to the club and how you look when you come to Mount Moriah. It ought to be a difference. And Mary and Martha want everything in order. And when you get here on Sunday morning, you ought to have on your best clothes. You ought to look like you're going to see Jesus. You ought not come to church with clothes all wrinkled up. Holes in your shoes. Your head tore up. But you ought to fix yourself up on Sunday morning and look like you did when you got ready to go out on Saturday night. Why? Because Jesus is coming by. And if anybody deserves your best, how many know Jesus deserves your best? Listen, you ought to want to look good for him, not for Pastor Turner. You ought to want to look good for Jesus. Anybody here know he deserves your best? Matter of fact, you ought to tell your neighbor he deserves your best. Your best smile, your best praise, your best attitude. Jesus deserves your best. And listen, we're asking the Lord to take Mount Moriah to new heights, but he's not going to do that until we are better where we are right now. Why would God do more for us if we're not doing the best we can where we are right now? Martha is a stickler for detail. She's regimented and detailed, but not Mary. Mary is a worshiper. Mary enjoys sitting at the feet of Jesus. You remember on one occasion, Jesus is there and Martha was busy in the kitchen while Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him teach. And Martha got mad about that. She threw a dish towel on the floor and went out indignant and said to Jesus, "Make that girl come in here and help me." Jesus said, "Martha, you ought to calm yourself down. You're anxious about too many things. Mary has chosen the good part, and I will not take it from her. Lazarus, thy brother, he does not speak." Lazarus didn't say a word. He's in the house with all these women. And there comes a time when you're around a bunch of women, men, it's best to keep your mouth closed. That sometimes it's best not to say, Brother Mitchell, I see you nodding your head over there, that sometimes men know when to be quiet. And do I have a witness in here that sometimes if the woman is upset, we know when to be quiet. And so Lazarus just goes along to get along. Lazarus doesn't want any trouble. He's just glad somebody's cooking for him and watching for him and taking care of him. Lazarus does not say much, but Jesus loves Lazarus. He loves Martha. He loves Mary. And in chapter 11, Lazarus dies. And Martha and Mary send for Jesus. They tell them to tell him the one he loves is sick. But Jesus delays coming 2 days to their aid, and while Jesus tarries, Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha weeping, they are professional mourners. They're screaming and falling all on the ground, and Jesus and his disciples, they're 2 miles away. They could have made it in time, but Jesus delays and tells them Lazarus is sleeping. Thomas said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. And Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But for the benefit of you, he's going to be back in Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. Unknown to Mary and Martha, Jesus is on the way back to raise Lazarus from the dead. But they cannot know that because their grief has disoriented them. And sometimes in the midst of your grief, sometimes when you're so disoriented, sometimes when you're grieving so hard, it's hard to see Jesus. That sometimes when your problems get so heavy, sometimes your burdens get so heavy, it's hard to see Jesus. Now, I know none of y'all saved folk are going to admit that today, but let me admit it for you. Sometimes it's hard to see Jesus. Do I have a witness in here? That sometimes you wonder what's going on in your life. You're wondering, where is Jesus? I called him 2 months ago and things still hadn't got better. Sometimes. But when he gets there, somebody goes and tells Mary and Martha, who's in charge, Jesus is here. And Martha goes to meet him first and says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The subjective tense meaning that all that was necessary was for you to have come when I called you and Lazarus will still be alive. Mary comes out and falls at Jesus' feet. And listen, Mary's always at his feet. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus says to Martha and Mary, you will see your brother again. Martha says, I know it. I know I'll see him again in the resurrection in the last day. But even now, Martha said, even now, whatever you ask of your father, he will give it to you. Jesus said, Martha, you're going to see him again. Martha says, I know I'll see him again at the resurrection. Jesus says, listen, you're looking at what you're looking for. You're talking to what you're talking about. You're standing by what you're standing on. You're speaking with what you're speaking of. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And he that lives in me and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe that? Martha says, what every good Christian ought to say to Jesus, yes, Lord. Whatever you say, yes, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do, yes, Lord. I'll go where you want me to go, yes, Lord. I'll stand where you want me to stand, yes, Lord. And somebody that's in here today that's lost, when the invitation is given, you need to come down the aisle and say, yes, Lord. Yes to your will, yes to your way, whatever you want me to do. You know the rest of the story. Jesus goes to the grave and raises Lazarus. He says, loose him and let him go. Lazarus comes out walking out of the grave like a dead man and takes his grave clothes off, goes home, takes those grave clothes off, folds them neatly, puts them in the drawer because he's going to have to use them again, because when you are raised, you've got to die again. But when you are resurrected like Jesus was, you never have to die again. And the fact is, we're not going to be raised, we're going to be resurrected, and we're going to have brand new bodies, and we'll never ever have to die again. Jesus is the only one who can fold grave clothes and leave them in the graveyard. Somebody ought to help me testify that he, listen, he used the graveyard for a weekend getaway. Lazarus put his grave clothes on and put him in the drawer. But then Martha, who is so grateful, Martha, who is so disciplined, such a stickler for details, Martha, who wants everything right, she loves the Lord. And thank God for the Marthas in here who are strict, detailed, and want everything to go right. Thank God for Sister Betty Dillon that wants everything right in the kitchen. Thank God for Deacon Dillon that wants everything right on the deacon board. Thank God for Brother Holloman that wants everything right on the usher board. But you love the Lord, because I believe, brothers and sisters, that if you're going to do something for the Lord, even if it's fix a meal, you ought to do it with all of your might. That every time you do something for the Lord, you ought to do the best that you can for the Lord. And our problem is we've got too many half-do folk who are satisfied with it being just half done, just good enough. But how many know you've got to give the Lord your best? You got to give the Lord all that you have. Martha, who is over the house, decides that since Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, that she's going to give him a dinner in his honor. And Jesus comes to the dinner. Lazarus is at the table reclining with Jesus. Here's a former dead man seated at the table. Here's a man that was dead that's now seated at the table. Thank God that there are some former dead folk in the house today. Do I have a witness in here? There's some former dead folk who can testify that I was lost. Is there anybody here that can say I was blind, I was dead in my sin, but in Christ I've been resurrected? I wish I had some former dead folk in here today who can say, Pastor, I was dead in my sin, but Jesus picked me up and turned me around, and I'm a witness that he can resurrect. I have to do so much to get some of y'all to get in the sermon. Got to take your clothes off. Got to throw a handkerchief up in the air. Got to spit, and cough, dance around, and speak in tongue before some of y'all to get excited. Because listen, if you didn't bring anything with you, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. But when your Christianity is contagious, if you've got a good strain of Christianity, you can pass it on to somebody. The person sitting next to you can't help but to catch what you have if you really got it. Anybody in here got good religion today? Anybody really got good religion? Let me make it plain for you. In the wintertime during the flu season, we take what's called flu shots. It's supposed to prevent us from catching the flu. But what oftentimes happens is that the shot makes us sick because it contains a strain of the flu virus. But what it does is it inoculates your body to prevent you from catching it at a later time. The virus is contained in the shot, and it is to build up your resistance against the flu. Some of you have allowed the devil to build up your resistance against Christianity. Pride can build up your resistance. Arrogance can build up your resistance. Sin in your life can build up your resistance. But when you let the Spirit of the living God in, listen, it will throw out that old nature. Because I heard that when Jesus shows up, when the light of the world shows up, darkness has to flee. And you know what? You don't need no preacher to get excited. The choir sung good, but you don't need no choir singing to get you happy. When you think about what God has brought you from and what God has done for you and how good he's been to you, how many ways God has made for you, it don't even have to be on Sunday morning. Is there anybody here that ever driving down the street just get happy thinking about the goodness of Jesus? Anybody just sitting in your living room just go to shouting and hollering and crying because God has been just that good to me? And your salvation is tied to your remembrance. Is there anybody here that remembers where he brought you from? He brought me, I can't speak for you, but he brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Tell your neighbor, look where he brought me from. I tell you, if you've got a good strain, you ought to be able to pass it on to somebody. This house, Mount Moriah, ought to be contagious. the dead man seating at the table. Then something out of the ordinary happens, something absolutely amazing takes place at the dinner. Mary, who is a worshiper, Mary, who at the mention of the name of Jesus gets happy, she gets up, goes to her room, and comes out of her room with what might be a family heirloom, a precious, expensive bottle of perfume. It was a good stuff. Amen. It was a good stuff. Judas, who was a numbers man, said we could have sold that because it was a year's wage, 300 denaro. Let's bring that into 2019. If the minimum wage was $5 an hour, at $40 a day, $300 a year, not counting weekends and special holidays, that perfume would have cost Mary in 2 days, today's figure, $12,000. Mary takes a $12,000 perfume and pours it not on his head this time, but on his feet. Because to attend to the feet was the task of the most lowly slave. That's what slave did. So Mary's action not only involved devotion, but it also involved humility. $12,000 bottle of perfume. She poured it all on his feet. Jesus said, you could have sold that and giving the money to the poor. While the other disciples didn't go as far as Judas, I'm sure they were saying to themselves that she could have poured half of it on there and then sold the other half. That's too much to pour on Jesus. The quantity, the amount that Mary used was quite large because the perfume was expensive. Her actions were costly. But the question is, how expensive is it to follow Jesus? What has he done for you? How much do you owe him? Is Christ worth the kind of sacrifice that you have to make? The answer to the question is yes, he's worth that and more. I was thinking the other day that maybe it was too expensive to want to move from where we were back in stop six. It was all paid for. We didn't owe nobody. But the Spirit of the Lord said, you shut up with that because nothing you do to the glory of the name of God is too expensive. Because how many know he deserves the best place to worship? That's why you ought to help keeping Mount Moriah clean. You ought not throw your candy paper on the floor. You ought not stick your gum on the back of the seat. I wish I had a witness in here. You don't allow your children to eat all over your house at home. You ought not allow them to eat all over the church when you come to church. You ought to take care of what the Lord has given to you because it belongs to him, and the Lord wants your best. And a lot of us are just satisfied with giving him just the meager part because the poor, he says, you will have with you always. And here's what the Spirit revealed to me. Do not forsake personal devotion for social responsibility. Serve God first, then go feed the poor. Build God a house first, then build houses in the community. The poor you will have with you always, and every time you get a chance, you can help them, but you won't always have a chance to be devoted to the Lord. So God is saying, while you have a chance, while the blood is running warm in your veins, feed the poor, do all you can for the homeless. But when it comes right down to it, I did something for you that you can't pay for. I died for your sin. And Mary didn't care what they thought of her because it was a disgrace for a woman to unbind her hair in public. But when she poured that perfume on Jesus' feet, she wiped it with her hair on her head. You were considered a woman of looseness. You were considered a harlot in Jesus' day if you walked around with your hair hanging down. But Mary figured that serving God is a let down your hair experience. I don't care who's in here. I don't care who's looking at me. You don't know my story. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know how many storms he's brought me through. You don't know how many burdens I've had to bear. You don't know how many tears I've shed. So when I come into the sanctuary, don't tell me to be quiet. Don't tell me to hold my peace. Don't tell me it don't take all of that. Speak for yourself. It may not take all of that for you, but it takes all of that and more for me. Because the Lord has done so much for me. Is there anybody here that believes the Lord is worth it? Why don't you touch somebody and tell them you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He died, I know he died. He saved my soul, made me whole. The Lord is worth it. And every time I come to the house of the Lord, I'm going to give God my best praise. I'm going to give God my best worship. And as I close today, is there anybody here will give God your best? Is there anybody here will help me praise the Lord? Is there anybody here will open your mouth and tell God thank you? Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for making a way for me. Thank you for waking me up early this morning. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, excuse me, but the Lord been mighty good to me. Excuse me, the Lord has brought me. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus, for watching over me all night and all day. I've got some angels watching over me. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so merciful. Thank you for dying on a cross. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, I feel better. I feel better. So much better. Since I laid. You ought to want to give the Lord your best. Every time you come into the house of worship, you ought to give God your best. Our problem is we're satisfied with giving him what's left. But God says, I want your best. Your best service. Your best praise. You may not have the best voice in the world, but every time you open your mouth, you ought to give God your best. The doors of the church open today if you're here. You ought to tell God yes today. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. God, I can't thank you enough. God, I can't praise you enough. Because God, you've taken care of me. You've brought me through dangers, seen and unseen. God, I thank you. God, I thank you today. Would you come?